Genesis chapter 18. We're going to speak on a topic this morning that I think is a very needed topic for our time. Genesis chapter 18, when you find it, if you will, go to verse number 16 and stand with me if you can. We'll sing, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Verse number 16, if you will, you can read it out loud with me just so everybody can follow along. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? I get cold chills thinking about how the men that were there turned around and turned their faces, it says, towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that your power would fill this place, that your presence would be here. And that, Father, as we worship you this morning in song, and Father, everything that's spoken, pray that you would get honor and glory out of it all. Pray that we would all be able to take this message to heart and make our lives more sanctified, Father, more even better than it's ever been before, so that our relationship with you would grow even more than it ever has in these times. In the name of your Son, amen. Very important that we understand what's going on here. There is a lot riding on our relationships with God. If you have a relationship with God this morning, you ought to be thankful, because not everybody in America has one. Matter of fact, I know a lot of people right now who do not have a relationship with God, and it is a very scary place to be when you find out that really quickly in this country, there's a lot leaning to the left. There's a whole lot leaning to the right, but there's not a lot that'll stay strong right down the middle. I know there's a lot of people out there, when we say right-wing people, we automatically associate ourselves with that. Some people associate with left-wing. But I want to say this morning that it's important to stay right in the middle. Now, I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the way of God. We can go too far to the right and think that we've made up our own gospel, can we not? How many of you have found yourself making up your own gospel before? I've done it. I've said things were wrong that are not in there. How many of y'all have done that? Now, I was being conservative, so I don't feel like I was too far off, but I was off. So any off is off, right? God said that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but it's the end of it does what? Leads to where? Yeah, it's destruction, it's death. God's way is straight. Do you know the word straight means narrow? It actually means it's hard to get through. Sometimes you got to turn sideways. How many of you followed the story of those little boys in Asia that were caught in those caves, or Indonesia or whatever? They were Thailand, basically. They were caught in the caves. How many of y'all followed that story? They say that in parts of the rescue, they would swim underneath these big crevices, and then they would come up into spaces that they literally had to crawl and suck it in, right? And go through, and then they'd have to go through even tighter places and follow along this path. And it was a hard, hard way to go, but it was the way to those kids' salvation, was it not? It's a tight way sometimes, but it is the right way all the time. the left-leaning folks. Have y'all seen how much our country is coming against this president? Do you know that they are fighting him on the murder of babies over this Supreme Court nominee? There are people standing up and chanting, impeach 45, because he might do away with Roe versus Wade. I say more power to him. Thank God for somebody who will step up and boldly say, when it seems like, I'll be honest with you, Donald Trump must have some real thick skin because he's the only one up there speaking that. Even the people in the Republican Party are not really even backing him. He's saying it on his own. And I don't know how godly he is, but I know God sometimes shows mercy through a leader. Have you remember the King Darius? Remember that guy in the Bible? You remember when they freed the three Hebrew men out of the fire? Do y'all remember that? Even though they weren't being burned. Hey, sometimes God shows his favor and his mercy through a king or through a leader, and you didn't even realize that that leader was even godly himself. But I say more power to him. Have you noticed how much our state is coming against this governor? Do you realize, as a Kentuckian, we have one abortion clinic left, and it is the target of Governor Bevin. He wants it shut down. And he's saying that. He's going after it. But yet we're worried about our pensions, aren't we? So we're rising up against the governor. I say more power to him. Shut it down. Be godly for once. Let God's people rise up for once and speak that which is right unto the way of God. Not over here, not over there, but straight down the middle. And I want to show you real quickly that when you have a relationship with God, you can have a real conversation with God. How many of you have ever had a real conversation with God? Just a few hands. How many of you have never had a real conversation with God? That's a sad state to be in if you call yourself a believer. It would be a sad state for me. There's been times in my life when I have not had conversations with God. How many of you would admit to today, even this morning, there's been times and spans of time when I didn't hear from God, when I couldn't get to God? Some sin in my life, something I was going through, something that kept me blocked. But I want you to understand right now that Abraham, it says that as the other two went on their way to Sodom, it said Abraham stood before the Lord. Why did he stand before the Lord? Anybody know why Abraham stood before the Lord? Because there was a lot riding on his relationship with God. I want to share this with you this morning. If you go back to chapter number 18, verse number 1, watch this. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent of the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. So go get me some water. Go get me a morsel of bread. And Abraham hastened in verse 6 into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine milk. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. There was a lot of effort going into this. This did not just happen like that. He had to go get a calf. They had to kill it, skin it, cut it up, dress it, make it, prepare it, go get the water. This was hours of time while these men are resting. Abraham's making sure that he's developing a relationship with these people because he knows that they are people from God. There ought to be some effort on our parts put into the relationship that we want with God. How many of you realize today that we can't just haphazardly just figure out one day that God loves us and we just keep on walking and God's going to bless us? That's not how it works. You have to put some effort into this relationship. I guarantee you this. When my wife and I first started dating, I put some effort into going to see her. She put some effort into coming to see me. We made sure we were at each other's functions, and at everything she was, I was. I didn't want her to be by herself. I didn't want to be by myself. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Men, right? Isn't that why He created women? He wanted us to be in conjunction. He wanted us to work together. He wanted it to be a husband-wife relationship. And it should be. And thank God there's some effort that goes in. I watch Elise every time we get ready to go anywhere. It's amazing what women have to go through to get the family ready. Wanda told me this morning, now that we got 4 kids, she said now she's got 5 kids to take care of, basically. And me being the biggest. Yeah, she gets us all ready, right? It's amazing what she's able to accomplish. In the time it takes me to do one thing, she can do 5 things. And God did that on purpose. He put us together to make us understand that we can't do it without each other. Men, how many of you could do it without your wife? It ain't going to happen, is it? Women, how much do you love your husbands? Boy, y'all don't love your husbands or your wives, do you? Somebody told me one time, if your relationship with your spouse is not right, your relationship with God can't be right. Somebody told me that one time, and I believe that. Because God's first thing that He ordained on earth was the husband-wife relationship. Did y'all know that? That's the first thing that He called, literally, that's the first thing He did for mankind to make sure it was whole. That ought to be important, isn't it? Abraham goes to his wife and says, "Help me." So man and wife got together. They put together this feast for these 3 men that stood by as they were resting. And in verse number 9, it says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him." Now watch this. These men said, "We're going to come back in 9 months. We're going to come back in basically 40 weeks, which is close to 10 months, right? 40 months, we're going to come back about the time of life, and your wife's going to have a child." Watch this. "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" First thing we need to understand about God is that He is God. Your relationship with God ought to prove that to you over time. I love that song, "How I Prove Him O'er and O'er." Y'all know that song? I love that. Jesus, 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 right? Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. They laughed. Watch this in verse number 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." That's law. Anytime you use the word shall, it is law. They shall have a son. "Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." And there's where we picked up our text a few minutes ago. I want you to understand that God Himself told Abraham and Sarah, "You're going to have a son. And your son is going to be the blessing that you get that blesses all man. That's where all the nations are going to rise up. It's going to be many nations going to rise up out of this son that you're going to have." And you know the story. It happened. The nation of Israel came from Isaac. I believe that. Not Ishmael, I can tell you that. But Isaac. Y'all know how Isaac had sons. And his sons had sons. And their sons had sons. And the children of Israel still are today sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So on and so forth. I want you to understand real quickly, Abraham was blessed because of his relationship with God. God said that He counted it faithful that Abraham would leave where he was and go where God said to go. Not even knowing the destination, but just knowing that's the direction God wants me to go in. And so he started going. And God said, that's faith right there. That's faith. That is actually where the word faith comes from, is the firm action of stepping out, not necessarily knowing exactly where you're going, but knowing that God pointed you in that direction, so just keep on going. That's actually the word in Hebrew that became the word faith that we have in English. It actually means to take a step. Faith is not something that you can just have. It's something that you do. Faith, it means I'm going to move when God says move. I'm going to stay when God says stay. But Abraham has a relationship with God. And I want you to understand that there was a lot riding on it. How many of you remember when Lot went with Abraham, his uncle? And Abraham said, look out onto the plains and pick you a place for yours, your cattle, and for all your animals, and for your family to start. And it says, Lot looked over at the well-watered plains of Sodom and said, that's what I want. And if you'll notice, he goes over there, everything's going great. Cattle are doing well. He even goes into the city and becomes a judge in the city. He actually got, I don't know if they elected him or appointed him, or, but he became a judge. It says that he sat in the gate. Over there on the gates, maybe some of you may know this, some of you may not know this, but on the gates over there in the Middle East, in that area especially, there were these big seats that were built into the walls that surrounded the cities. Those are where the judges sat. Literally, if you were caught breaking a law, they would bring you outside the city gate. You would be judged by the judge whether you were innocent or guilty. And then if you were found guilty, many times you would be banished, no longer ever able and invited back into the city again. You were banished. So listen, Lot was a judge who judged the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. They would bring people before him. He would make a decision on whether or not they would stay in Sodom and Gomorrah or not. Now, you know what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So what kind of judgments were he pronouncing? Was he pronouncing the right judgments or not? I don't think that the judgments of God were being evident or present there, because he was not banishing wickedness from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're still in there, right? It says that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah was great and their sin was very grievous. There are two things that God calls detestable in the Bible. Homosexuality is one of them. We don't touch on that very often anymore because it became politically incorrect to speak against it. It is not okay to practice homosexuality. It is a sin that is very grievous in the eyes of God. The Catholic Church has a struggle with that right now. Did y'all know that? This Pope has a struggle with that. The Methodist Church has pronounced that in certain parts of their society, I should call it, that it's okay. The Episcopal churches allow them to be the priests. Did y'all know that? There is a sin in America that is very grievous to the righteous judge of all eternity, and America's practicing it. There's a sin that God looks down and says that's detestable. There's only one other thing that God called detestable in the Bible, and that's the same thing with beasts. It's in there. I didn't make it up. Read the book of Leviticus. It says it. Those are two things that God says are detestable. Now, thank God, He'll forgive. If there's somebody out there that makes the change and comes out, I do not think that a person that is practicing can actually get the forgiveness of God unless they stop practicing it. I watched a debate. It's sickening. I watched a guy come in. There's a great YouTube video on this. This homosexual man comes up to the stage in an African-American church. Don't know where it's at. Maybe it's in Atlanta or somewhere like that. Comes up to the stage and debates the black pastor of that church. And that black pastor stood strong on the word of God. That homosexual man said, I've been enlightened. that God is okay with homosexuality as long as you love Him and love people. I'm sorry, but that's not okay according to the law of God. So in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot is a judge, and yet the city is still plagued by homosexuality. Now, I don't know what kind of judgments he was making. It does not say it in the Bible, so I don't know. But I do know this. There was a man outside the city who had chosen a different way. He said, "You can have that over there, Lot. I'll just take mine over here." And he was being blessed too. Not only were his cattle doing well, not only were his fields doing great, not only was his wife and he have, not only did their relationship prosper, but they found out they're going to have a son in their old age, which is a miracle. And God was blessing Abraham and even called him a friend of God. And I want to share this with you. If you are a friend of God, you can get a prayer answered. Did you know that? We ought to say amen right there. If you are a friend of God, you can get your prayers answered. Does it make you feel good this morning that you can get a prayer answered? I'll be honest with you. Every time God, I heard somebody say that we have a praise this morning, that ought to have been an exciting moment for everybody, especially the person whose prayer was answered. I want to say this, that we ought to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we come to a thing that seems impossible, we've got a God that specializes in doing impossible things very well. Isn't that great to know that you can get a prayer answered? It says that when God began His process of pronouncing judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that the two that went, it says the men turned their faces from thence, and it says Abraham stood yet before the Lord. I want to thank God for people who stood yet before the Lord when I was going to face judgment. How many of you want to thank God? This is what we're here for. Are we not here for that this morning? You didn't come to hear me. You came to worship God, did you not? Hey, you ought to thank God for when He stayed His judgment hand because of somebody else's relationship that loved you enough to pray for you. How many of you was it a grandparent? How many of you was it a mama or a daddy? How many of you was it an uncle like Lot? His uncle was Abraham. How many of you was it a cousin? Was it a friend? Was it somebody that just stayed on their face before God and didn't turn? It just said, "No, I'm going to stay right here." Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's what Abraham asked. Is that a great question or not? Do you know the only reason God has not destroyed America yet? I truly believe there is a remnant of people here that love the Lord, who are on their face before God on a daily basis praying for our country. Maybe there's somebody like that in here. We all ought to be like that. I'm shamed sometimes to forget. I'll admit I forget to pray for our country. How many of you forget that? Because we prosper. We get up. We take a warm shower. We eat a good breakfast. We head to places that are reasonable accommodations. I mean, we don't have to worry about being too hot or too cold most of the time. Some people in here probably have jobs where you wish it was a little cooler or a little warmer. I worked in a factory one time that was so hot during the month of July, I didn't know if I was going to make it. But I went every night because I knew I had to feed my family, right? Now when I work, sometimes it gets tough and I have to deal with things I don't really necessarily desire to do, but yet I know it's part of the job. I realize that that's how God has blessed me financially to be able to take care of my family. So I go every day. But sometimes do you forget to thank God for the job that He gave you? We live in a country where you can carry your Bible around. I carry my Bible everywhere I go. I took it to Florida with me. This thing's been to Florida multiple times. I had to brush the sand off of it a few times because I kept carrying the sand in the house, right? I love it. I ride with it. I walk with it. I take it to work with me. I go everywhere with my... You are free to do that. It's the Word of God, and we're free to do that. We ought to thank God for that, should we not? We're free to speak the name of Jesus. I've never been persecuted like those men were persecuted in the Bible for speaking the name of Jesus. Daddy preached a message one time saying, "Is it really harder today to serve God than it was in the Bible days?" Because some people have made the comment, "Man, I wish it was like it was back then." If it were, you guys would have already been dead. Right? I would have already been dead. They would have found us, put us in prison, convicted us for speaking the name of Jesus, and then crucified us or did something else crazy to kill us, whipped us with a cat of nine tails until we died, or tortured us in some other way. Back in those days, they were decapitating Christians and taking the heads of Christians, putting them on poles, and lighting the city like streetlights with Christians' heads. Did y'all know that? They would openly crucify them and leave them on the crosses for days till the birds would come down and devour them on those crosses, decaying like that, just for speaking the name of Jesus. They would take hot oil and tar, whatever you want to call it. They would dip people down in that stuff and just torture them for just saying the name Jesus. We live in a day where we can do all that, don't we? Our relationship with God ought to be stronger than any civilization's relationship with God. When we realize that our founding fathers came out of the Church of England, basically, because we wanted to do it the ways that we knew God ordained it to be done and not under authority of a man. We're not under the authority of a priest. We've got a priest that's in heaven, right? God gave us that authority. We take care of our families. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? It says that the man is under the authority of Jesus. That's it, of God. God is man's authority. And I want to say this, that Abraham knew that. And his relationship had gotten so tight with God that he actually questioned God. Now, I was brought up to believe that you don't question God, right? However, it seems that God does not find Abraham's question a bad thing. I truly believe this with all my heart. And maybe we're getting to the point where this is not so much anymore. I saw the flag back there when I came in of Wales. And I remember when Brother Ronnie came to our church at Seven Springs and talked to us about his burden for those people. I remember when Takaji Yamasaki came to our church and talked about it, about his burden for Japan. I remember when Brother Solomon Olabi came and talked about his burden for his people in Africa where he was. I remember hearing a lot of these people that you guys support, we support, and I remember their burdens. Do you know why? Because it was their people. Solomon Olabi has a burden for his people, or had. When I don't know what he's doing now, I have no idea, but I know this, that those missionaries that go over there, they have a burden for people. Many times, if it's a native, that burden is so much more easy to see. I watch these people come into our churches and present their case of why they want to be a missionary to that place. Abraham loved his nephew so much that he questioned God. I want to know this. Have you ever questioned God? Has anybody in here ever questioned God? I'm not talking about why God is doing a certain thing. I believe that God puts a passion for people in our hearts. If you are a person of God, if you call yourself a follower of the ways of God, God was so passionate about humans that he sent his only begotten Son. Is that not right? Sent his only begotten Son to be the salvation, sacrifice, salvation, resurrection. And that's how you become saved, is to realize that, right? If you believe that God did all that, and he did, that's how you can be saved. Because you can only be saved one way, right? Through Jesus. And I thank God for that. Abraham knew that Lot's salvation was only one way. Only one thing would be if God did it himself. He knew that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was terrible. The sin was grievous. It was detestable. God was going to destroy it. And it says that Abraham went and said, if I can find 50, right? Then 40, then 30, then 20, then 10. Do you know that Lot had 8 people in his own family, and possibly more, but at least 8 people that should have been able to have been accounted for as followers of God? I want to share this with you. If there's one burden on my heart, It's to win my family. I'll go and preach anywhere I can, and I'll tell everybody else about the gospel of the Messiah, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell them all about it. But if I fail to win my family, I will be a failure if I fail to win my family. There's so many people that'll go out and they'll go out preaching to the masses, but their family will die and go to hell. My number one job is to win my family. My son Malachi, every night before he prays, every night before he goes to bed, he prays. And the other day, he asked me if he could get baptized. And I asked him a few questions to see if he understood, and I feel like we're getting closer and closer to when God will save him. And I thank God for it. It gets me emotional thinking about, that's my son. He knows that Daddy follows the way of God, and he wants to do it too. I want my daughter, Claire, my son, Titus, and my other daughter, Layla, to follow the same path. I want them all to be saved, because if I fail to do that, I want to share this with you. When everybody else turns, I want to have my face before God, because there is a lot riding on my relationship with God. Now, you notice I've said that multiple times. The word lot, there's a lot of stuff riding on it, but there's a person out there. How many of you are praying for somebody to be saved that you haven't seen saved yet? Or you question their salvation because of the works that they have? Because the Bible says that works doesn't get you saved. But doesn't James say, you show me your salvation, I'll show you my salvation, right? By what? By what I do. If we walk that straight path, people will know that we follow God, right? I see so many people, I hear this all the time. Well, this person's gone back to alcohol and they've become a drunk again. I truly believe that if God saves someone to the fullest, it's going to be real difficult for them to go back to the sin that used to keep them bound. I truly believe that. If you know somebody like that, it ought to be today you ought to start praying if you haven't already begun to pray. There's an old story of a ship captain named John Paul Jones. And in the middle of combat, out on the sea, right in the middle of naval warfare, they started shooting his ship full of holes. And John Paul Jones yelled out to his men, "We have not yet begun to fight." I think that ought to be our cry this morning. We have not even yet begun to pray like we'll start to pray. Like we'll turn our face and say, "God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" I want you to know that if the people of California have it their way, Donald Trump will be impeached. If the people of Illinois have it their way, Donald Trump will be impeached. If the people of Washington State have it their way, the people of New York have it their way, if all these people in the country that are left-leaning like they are have it their way, abortion will be a practice that's widely done. Kentucky will have all of its clinics come back to, they'll open them back up, they'll start killing babies by the droves again. And or even more than they're doing now, they'll let homosexuality fly under the rainbow flag as if that's okay. Do y'all realize what a slap in God's face that is? Do y'all realize what the rainbow flag is supposed to stand for? Do y'all know what that's supposed to stand for? That is supposed to stand for the fact that God said he'll never destroy the earth again by water. But yet they fly it boldly and proudly, letting it be known that they do not fear God of heaven. And I believe that's what they were doing when he destroyed it the first time. Openly sinning. But there was a lot riding on the relationship that Abraham had with God. I want you to know the story real quickly. It says in chapter 19, that in verse number 14, it says this, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." Do you realize that they laughed at him because it says that he did not have a voice with them anymore? He said, "What are you talking?" They said, "What are you talking about? Who is this God you're talking about?" It says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city." You got to get out of here. And then watch what verse number 16 said. And while he what? Lingered. While he lingered. Lot even after the hand of God was about to fall in judgment on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot lingered. There's somebody out there that's counting on you. There's somebody out there that's lingering. They're staying in the sin that they've gotten entangled in because they don't realize how close the judgment of God is. Do you know that as a righteous person, God made you righteous through His Son's blood? Even as a righteous person before God, you can still have family that are sinners. How many of you feel that way right now? You got somebody out there that you're praying for. As the musicians come and as song leader comes, my prayer is that this would wake us up, that we would understand that there is too much riding on our relationship with God for us to give up right now. Somebody out there is counting on you. Somebody out there is still asleep right now because they got so bad last night that they can't even wake up right now. How many of you know somebody like that? I do. I got them. They're my friends. I've got family members like that. How many of you got those people? Somebody, those kids that don't even know yet. That's my motivation. I've got four now. I never would have thought I would have had four kids a few years ago. I never would have thought. I thought God was going to keep me single my whole life. I didn't even know I was going to finally meet somebody. But thank God for my wife and my four kids. If I let them slip off into hell, what kind of man am I? Why am I even standing here? Why are you even sitting there this morning? Why do we call ourselves followers of God if we don't want to get our family, to get our friends? It ought to be earnest prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's how you get your relationship with God. It's through righteousness. If you are seen as righteous, He'll treat you like He treated Abraham. He'll treat you like He treated Elijah. He'll treat you like He treated all those prophets, where He'll speak with you. Have you ever heard that song, "And He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way"? I want God to walk with me and talk with me. I want to have the relationship that when I hear about the judgment of God on a place, I can say, "God, would You spare the righteous? Tell me where they are and I'll go get them. Don't destroy the righteous with the wicked, please." That ought to be our prayer as we stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.